Welcome back to the Andrew Hines Real Estate Investing Podcast for another midweek episode. So this is the third midweek episode that I've done since I started launching these. And just a quick recap of what we're doing on these episodes. This is an opportunity for me to share a little bit more about myself, get into stuff that I can't really get into during the interviews, and then give some high-level thoughts, things that I think might be helpful to you. So it won't all be specific to real estate technique, but certainly things that I think are necessary and helpful to a real estate investor. Mindset will be a big part of it. And then just like the idea of kind of conveying some of my overly ridiculously analytical thoughts, things that go on inside of my head, you know, concepts that I challenge just because of the way I think for some reason or another. I might as well share those because a lot of the insights I have during the podcast interviews come from things that I've really mulled over, things that I've really been thinking about. And this will be a place that you can come back to where if you just kind of want to get into some of that and you can kind of see a little bit more about what I'm thinking about certain topics, and I'll try and give it to you in a way that I think it'll be useful to you. So today I had a few things written down that I was going to go over. And one of them is just like an update on what's happening. Going to be coming home after almost 2 months in Florida. And then another thing I wanted to talk about is finding your baseline, finding your equilibrium, and how work is good. And I'm going to get into that and explain that more clearly in a moment. But I think it's a tool. I'm going to share some thoughts that I think might be tools for you to take your business to the next level, challenge yourself, go further than you think you can. And I'll give you the insights as to why I think that's possible. And of course, like, I'm no expert on just about anything. I'm just a guy talking to a camera right now. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. And of course, you know, always be introspective and also seek outside counsel before you're, you know, making an investment decision based on something you heard on a podcast. Anyways, so let's get into the first topic. I'm just going to take a quick look at my notes here. Okay, so starting with the idea of equilibrium, finding your equilibrium and what's normal to you. So I've been thinking about this for a few weeks now, and I have a few references in my life for like something that I used to find totally normal and actually kind of even needed. And I eventually just like didn't need that anymore. And I didn't even want it anymore. And I'll start with the most simple example I can give to you. And that's my morning coffee. I used to drink coffee with like two creams, two milks, and then eventually I went to two milks and two sugars. So I always had sugar in there anyways. And slowly over time, I don't know why, but I just decided I didn't want to drink milk. I didn't want to drink coffee with cream anymore. So I got rid of the cream and switched to milk. And it was, at first it was a little bit of a shock, but then if I would go back to cream, it would be like weird. And I'm sure a lot of you listening to this or watching this, will relate to that if you've ever switched away. And then eventually I got rid of the sugar. Like, first it went down to like one sugar instead of two, and then I went down to half sugar, and then no sugar, and it was just two milk. And then I finally decided, I don't know why, I kind of wanted to get off dairy, so I just decided, okay, I'm going to get rid of the milk. And I slowly cut that back to one, a little bit less, and then one day I just went pure black. And if I were to change any of that, like, I would immediately notice. Like, one time I had the Tim Hortons lady give me a double-double, and I literally took a sip and spit it out all over the parking lot. I'm like, what is this? So my point of bringing this up, and I know this seems super tangent, was it's that we have in our brains basically receptors for stimulation. And I'm not an expert on this, so obviously double check my facts, but here's how I've come to understand it. Like, we have dopamine receptors, and certain things we do stimulate those. And whether that be your cell phone, whether that be, you know, you're a thrill seeker and you do skydive and what have you, or whether it be your morning coffee or a combination of all the above, you hit your receptors and then you slowly become numb. And it's the idea of addiction, right? Like, the more you hit yourself with something, the more you want more of that. And the more you might even want to up the ante, so to speak, and get more of that. But you can actually also go the other way. you don't have to constantly climb. What if you were to constantly just reduce the ante each time? So instead of like, just like I did with the coffee, and slowly move away from something. And then before you know it, your new baseline is something more towards what you wanted to do. Give you another example to how that you might apply this in your life or in your business is, I also have done things like fasting. And for me, like, my body's so used to eating, you know, all the square meals of the day. So when I switched to fasting for the morning, obviously I got very hungry in the morning. But after, say, like a week of doing that, I actually didn't even get hungry in the morning anymore. Like, my body had adapted to my new baseline, and my new baseline did not include eating in the morning. So how can you use this in your business and in your life? Well, I'll give you an even more applicable, probably for a lot of people, example. I'm like a big believer in that work is good. And a lot of times when you're not in a heavy work phase, or you have leisure, you have comfort in your life, you're going to be afraid to take on more. And having kids was that for me, in a nutshell. Like, I was at like absolute capacity in my mind for like business and busy work, because I didn't have my assistant at the time. And I just, for me, like the idea of kids, I had no idea how I would handle that. And I will say the following, like, after I had my son, all of my free time to just sit on my phone or watch a movie, watch Netflix, that was all gone. Like, my personal time, like my gym time, like, greatly reduced. Like, all the things I took for granted were gone. And you might look at that as a negative, but I don't think of it as a negative at all. Like, I'm actually happier now. Like, I took leisure and replaced it with what is objectively work, because I'm always on as a dad and I'm happier. So there's another perfect example. It's like, it's work I love. Like, raising my son is good work. And there's so many things in business that I now consider good work. And it's the same idea. Now, I'm not saying you should just go out and do something that you don't feel you have the capacity to do. But if you're in a phase where, like, say you haven't yet had kids, and you know, you enjoy your comforts, you enjoy your nights out for dinner, or you enjoy your Netflix or whatever, you could easily replace those things with fulfilling work. And it can actually bring you up. Like, the other day, and I've struggled with on and off depression my whole life. And the other day I was kind of going through it a little bit. I'll out of nowhere, I couldn't explain it. It just happened, and I decided what I was going to do. Cause like, I'm like, no, don't want to do that. It was one of those moods where I just like, I didn't feel like doing anything. Didn't want to listen to something uplifting, music or anything like that. And the one thing that occurred to me to do is to do meaningful work. So basically that was just chores around the house, cleaning, doing things. I decided my son put kinetic sand and Play-Doh all over the pool deck and stained it. So I pulled out the power washer and I washed it, and I actually felt better from that. And it's something so simple, but you know, I'm losing my train of thought here a little bit, but the idea that doing work can actually improve your overall state of mind. It can improve your overall happiness level. And I don't know why that is, but I actually find that if I'm not feeling good, doing meaningful things that need to be done actually can snap me out of it. So, getting back to the concept of equilibrium, what is your equilibrium right now? Is there a habit you want to kick? Maybe it's as simple as a week without that habit and your equilibrium will change. Now, I'm not saying like that's going to necessarily work for something like smoking or what have you, but maybe if you replaced that activity with something else that's the new, the better. I'm also like, admittedly, like I have like a binging personality, and I'll binge on a new project I'm on until it's done. Like, that could be binge for work or binge for eating and snacking. That's why I like the fasting. It's like, I don't eat in the morning. It's very easy not to snack. So for me, I've really got to replace times that I have, like doing things that maybe is not a good habit for me. I have to replace that with a dedicated time to do something else that I like. And that could be like, you know, I have a meeting set for this on this day all the time. I have, you know, a standing appointment to go play, you know, tennis or squash or whatever at this time. And those things I find help me greatly. So there's some people who I really don't think should take on more. And I've had like coaching students where I've had to literally say, hey, you have like no time. You don't need to be doing anything like that. Here's, with a little time you do have, you know, here's how you slowly work your way into having more time available to do stuff. So this isn't like me telling people who are already like at 98% capacity to take away those last 2%. This is me telling it to the people who have a cushy job, comfortable job, maybe they don't have kids yet, and they have some spare time, and they could certainly take on more, but they haven't been. And those people, if you're afraid that, if you have something you want to do, but you're afraid to give up that leisure, this is me telling you that if you believe in it, if you look at that and you say, hey, I know I would like that. I'm just like, I have so much, you know, we enjoy our life the way it is. And like, I still do have a bunch of stuff going on. And like, if you find that that's you, I would encourage you to go out and just pull the trigger on it. Like, go learn that new thing. Like if for me, like I wanted to learn wholesaling and I had always said, no, I got too much going on. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm not going to do that. And then sort of the market kind of, you know, twisted my arm a little bit. And I just decided, to me, that's the best way. Like that's the best way to ensure my profits for going forward. So that's what I set out to do. And if you want to know more about that, last two episodes, I talked about that for the midweek episodes. Anyway, so let's move through some of my notes here. Just making sure I got through them all. I find that having a list helps me a bunch because I'm super free flow, and sometimes I'll just forget to touch on half the points I had. Like for one, I was going to start by giving you an update on my personal life, and then I just jumped right into that talk. So anyways, yeah, we're coming home. And so just got a number of things to take care of at home. Been here since the end of January. So by the time you're listening to this on Wednesday, I will be back in the cold. And I'm excited. We got some stuff going on. We're launching like a new podcast studio, which we'll be able to live stream multicam. We're actually gonna open it up for other content producers who want to hire us to produce their content. We've created like a whole studio at my office in Burlington, and I kind of just steering into, you know, again, one more thing, but steering into my skill set. I've always been a little bit of a, you know, audio video techie nerd, not like over the top, but because I've been in bands, and we like would make music videos, and then I started the podcast, and I've been doing this for 5 years. I'm just always paying attention to that stuff. So I wanted to take it to the next level and make it cooler. And I think that it's going to be something that's going to be really great. And if you find that you're like somebody that wants to, you know, take the plunge and get into some content creation, maybe do a longer form podcast or something, feel free to hit me up and we can talk about it. Like, we haven't come up with a firm structure on how, what that would look like. But we're certainly interested in kind of opening it up to other people who want to produce with us too. So that's one of the things I'm working on when I get back. That should be up and running in early April. And then all of my new face-to-face interviews will all be in that studio. So really looking forward to that. And looking forward to your feedback on it, of course. But on that note, my question to you is, would you want me to do these episodes as a live stream? Because I would love a little chat. And I know early on there'd be like nobody there. But I'd love a little chat of, you know, just people saying, hey, like, what about this? Or here are my thoughts on this. Because we can talk the market. We can talk, you know, something that just happened, current events. Because these, like, I record these weekly. They're like very fresh, like the low production, obviously. Like, I'm just here talking to a camera with an audio file connected to it. No cuts, really. I don't think we've had any cuts in any of the other episodes, like just raw file. So I might as well do that as a live stream. If you're interested in that, let me know. Maybe reach out to me or put something in the comment. And then if you have a topic you'd like me to cover, let me know that as well. As far as like a live stream time frame, if I were to do that, it would have to be during the business day because my evenings are sort of sacred between putting my son down and, you know, dinner routine and doing stuff and then, you know, cleaning up and getting ready for bed. that window is just, I'm not adding anything to that. But certainly during the daytime is an option. I think like a Monday might be good. So if that's something that you're interested in, I know it's not like super ideal time, but if I could do like a lunchtime on Monday. I'm not expecting every listener I have and every viewer I have to be able to make them. Probably the majority probably never will or never would, but some would. So I'm just putting that out there. Feel free to reach out to me. And yeah, I'd love to talk more about what you want to know about. So yeah, we're coming home and... like I said, lots to do. I mean, I'm excited to get back to doing the face-to-face interviews, although this has been okay. I've actually really liked being stationary, and I like change. Like for me, I like to switch things up every once in a while. Like for a while, I'll go to the office a ton, and then for a while, I'll work from home a ton. Well, since we've been down here in Florida, I've really just been working from home. There's a home office here, so I just work out of this room and then close the doors. And of course, you probably have heard my son in the background on some of these. So I love being close to family, but I can get stir crazy and I, you know, kind of want to get out. So yeah, I'm looking forward to mixing it up again. And then of course, to warm weather in Ontario as soon as possible. Like in the future, I want to, and I'm still working this out with Jordan, but I want to make Florida like home, maybe primary home. Like we'll work, you know, potentially work through that with the E2 visa and get, you know, get the ability to stay here more than 6 months. But in my ideal world, we're kind of like 5 months stay here anyway. But I don't want to like risk, I mean, maybe they say I'm doing too much stuff here and spending too much time here. And I don't even want to put that out there, but E2 visa is a good way to make sure that I can always get in. So in my ideal world, it's either leaving like start of Jan or end of Jan. And then, because I don't mind a little winter, it's just like I get to a point where I'm like, okay, no more. But spend all of Jan, Feb, March, April, and then into the start of May, and then come home. So that's only like 4 and a bit months. Fall I'm fine with in Ontario, totally cool. I don't like the gray after a while. Like it just gets to me. And the sun streaming in, you can't see it right now if you're watching this, although you can see my shine because I got a little bit of a sunburn and I put coconut oil on it. But you know, there's sun streaming in the window all the time. And for me, like it gives me so much perspective when I come down here because I actually just want to stay. Like it feels like home now. Home, the concept of coming home to Burlington actually feels a little foreign. Like it doesn't really feel like home. And that's weird because I've only been here like 8 weeks. But every time I come here, it feels like it's home. And then of course we've got like more roots down here. As I mentioned before, like Matt Pichet and his wife, Rachel, their son, they're here. We see them a bunch. You know, we go to their like sunsets almost, I'd say a few times a week, and see them there often, you know, do things. So having friends, like having a routine down here, feels pretty great. And that's something I want for my future. So I'm going to look at, like, I'd like to get our own place down here. We stay at our, my mother-in-law's place down here when we're here, cause they're not here. They do come down and it's actually a nice opportunity to do some family time and have my son hang out with his grandmother. He calls her Omi. And, so we like that, but of course I'd love the flexibility to have our own place here. So I'll be applying some of the stuff I've learned down here with the whole, subject to and off market, acquisition strategies to really ramp that up and hopefully get something under contract. I mean, in my ideal world, I'm going to find something that's a distressed seller situation, take over their loan with subject to, meaning I just take over their payments, like the loan still stays in their name. I take title, you get title insurance and everything, all that's still normal. But then for the remainder of that loan's term, so if it's like a 30-year mortgage with 27 years left, I'm taking that over. And you know, if it's 3-year old mortgage, I'm going to be getting like a 2% or 2.25, 2.5 interest rate. So what I love about that, like so many like wholesalers and flippers are all about like, what do I make on the transaction? If you work out the math on what you save being at a 2.5% interest rate versus like a 7 or an 8, you're hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars over the life of that loan. And so that's pretty exciting. And the opportunity, like as a Canadian, to get like qualifications to get into those mortgages is like way hard. But if you do it this way, you're not qualifying at all. You just got to convince the seller that it's the best option, which if they're in a distressed situation and they're going to lose their house anyway, it's way better for them not to have a foreclosure on their record. So that's just the clientele you got to find. And of course, anyone going into pre-foreclosure down here, I mean, a lot of people are blowing up their phones. And I say that we're rolling out a pre-foreclosure phone call campaign tomorrow. So I'm recording this on Monday. So anyways, I don't have all the answers when it comes to this stuff. I'm just like, go, go, go. We'll figure it out. I'm with Matt on that. We're doing it together. And he was a big catalyst to just let's roll out two more campaigns. This is working. Although I will say, so we got a deal tied up. I guess on my last episode, I talked about that. I was scrutinizing the call audio more, and I think the seller was a bit confused, and he actually is not responding to being pinged anymore. There's no problem at the moment, but when we've tried to reach out to him, he's not responsive right now. So my whole like real estate career, I've always been like, don't count your chickens before they hatch. And I'll talk about this stuff anyway, but I never allow myself to get like excited about something. And this is like a double-edged sword, because I would realize like on all my real estate deals, buy or sell, I'd want to get excited, but I'm like, no, can't. Not until it closes. Because I've seen so many transactions fall apart over my time. Because I've bought off market. I've transacted on a lot of stuff. I've been doing this a long time. I've had sales fall apart numerous times, both in Canada and in the States. I've had purchases fall apart. I discovered a house was a grow up right before I closed on it. Title company told me, and I canceled the purchase. I had already bought windows for that deal, so I had to basically sell them for $100 a piece, give them away, things like that. So I'm telling you this because I don't really celebrate things until they're like for sure. So it doesn't really change anything. I'm still very pumped up about the fact that we've rolled out this campaign. The first campaign is like 50 or 60 leads so far. And Matt and I were just talking shop of what he would have to pay for a lead back home. And he could be paying up to $1,000 for a lead for not good leads. It's still profitable in the business to do that. But it's like when you're sitting there paying that much money to generate leads, especially with direct mail in Ontario, which is highly saturated, it can kind of get to a point where you almost can't tolerate watching it. We're way better than that right now. Our first campaign is like $3,000 to roll out. And we, like I said, we're between 50 and 60 leads. So you can do the math on that. Leads pricing is pretty good. Even if these are, you know, time will tell, are they lower quality leads? Are they higher quality? From conversation standpoints, they seem to be pretty good quality leads. So that's working pretty well. And we're going to keep rolling out more campaigns because we know we're getting in conversations, and it's only a matter of so many conversations before you lock down that deal. And the deal we did lock down, hey, there's still a chance that one goes through. But I'm just very like cautiously optimistic, and I don't like to count those chickens before they hatch. So if it didn't go through, you know, would we have legal recourse? Yes, I do believe we would. I just don't even want to think about that yet. We'll wait and see what happens. And if we need to make a move there, we will. But hopefully we just get in touch with this guy in the next couple of days. Maybe he was on a duck hunting trip or something. So like I said, cautiously optimistic, but never counting my chickens. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. Like, do you celebrate the deal when you get it? You know, I know some people are all like, yeah, I got it. Like, hooray. It's just never been my personality. But, you know, maybe that's a negative, because it's good to celebrate. Those feelings of joy, like, I feel like they attract more feelings of joy. So, you know, something to think about. Again, my over-analytical side coming out here. So, all right. So did I cover everything? Like I said, let me know about the live stream if you would like that. Let me know if there's stuff specifically that you'd like me to talk about. This is your opportunity to just tell me what you want to know about, and my opportunity to just rant unscripted, for better or for worse. I'm trying something out, and I'd love to know. I had maybe like a couple, like my phone sort of got pinged a couple of times. That was unusual after the first couple of these episodes that I did. I had somebody reach out to me that does cross-border like E2 visa applications. And I guess somebody sent her the episode. And then I had somebody else reach out to me and say they loved this midweek format. I'm curious, because I get absolutely no feedback. Like normally with a guest, I'm talking to the guest and I can read rapport and body language. Can't do that with camera. So let me know what you think of this. Am I on the right track with this? Do you want me to make adjustments? Would love to know. And of course, you can reach out to me at the Andrew Hines on Instagram. I'm pretty much that handle everywhere, although like by far the best place to reach me is there. And then of course, you can also reach me by email. I'm not going to type this out as text, but it's andrew@andrew-hines.com if you want to send me an email. Alrighty. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. And this was a total experiment for me talking about this stuff the way I'm talking. Unscripted, personal. I don't know. Might seem like nothing to you, but you know, love any feedback you can give. So until next week, or until, I guess, Sunday, when the new episode, new interview launches. See you then.